I've entitled this message, Demas. We just read what Paul said in Timothy regarding this man. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now that sounds like a negative subject. And I want to bring a message from Demas that will be an encouragement and give assurance to the Lord's people. Now, you pray for me that I'll bring this message as it ought to be brought. We've been looking at these characters in Colossians chapter 4, and we read in verse 14 of Colossians chapter 4, Luke, the beloved physician, that's who we considered last week, and Demas greet you. Demas was a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. And in the book of Philemon, Paul referred to Demas as a fellow laborer. Evidently, Demas was a preacher of the gospel. Now, Paul had some discernment, and you can be sure he didn't see this coming. Demas, my friend, the preacher of the gospel, hath forsaken me. He's deserted me, having loved this present world. He loved the here and the now. He loved the present world. And he had said all the right things, and he conducted himself in a way that was seeming right. And perhaps he'd done so for many years, but all of a sudden, he's gone. Demas hath departed. He hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He was like the many disciples in John chapter 6. From that time, many of his disciples went back. They claimed to be his disciples, but they went back. And they walked no more with him after they heard what they called the hard sayings of John chapter 6. Demas was like what Peter described, the dog returning to his vomit and the pig that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. He was like those that John spoke of. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. You see, there are those who are of God. He that's of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not because you're not of God. He said to another crowd, you are of your father the devil. You are of the world. I'm not of the world. You are from beneath, and I'm from above. And Paul tells us why he departed. Having loved this present world. The same world that John warned us of. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. For all that's of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, fallen human nature and its sinful cravings, the lust of the eyes, being more concerned about what men see than what God sees, popularity, the pride of life, the lust for power. All that's of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. James said in James chapter 4, whoso is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. This is the same world that our Lord refused to pray for. He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me. Now, what is this world that Demas loved? What is the world of which Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, that Christ hath delivered us from this present evil world? Now, there are three words in the New Testament translated world, and one is, I guess I'm pronouncing it right, cosmos. I think I pronounced it cosmos once and somebody corrected me. And I thought, well, how do you know? I mean, Greek language is dead. Who knows how it's pronounced? But at any rate, I gave it a stab. But the word is used in so many different ways in the Scripture. It can mean the earth. The world can mean the earth, this planet we're living on. The earth as opposed to the heavens. It can mean mankind. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. It can mean Gentiles as well as Jews. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, not just for us Jews, but also for the sins of the whole world. It can mean the sum of all temporal possessions. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? But what it usually means is the world that is alienated from and hostile toward God. In John chapter 7, verse 7, the Lord said to the people who are listening to him, "The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil." Turn to John 15 for a moment. John 15. Beginning in verse 18, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. If they've kept my saying, they'll keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." Now the other word that is used quite often, translated the world, means the age, a period of time marked by certain characteristics. We read of the cares of this world or this age. We read of the sons of this world. We even read of the God of this world and the prince of this world, speaking of Satan. And we read of the fashion of this world and the wisdom of this world. I love that scripture in 1 Corinthians 2 or 1, where Paul said, "The world by wisdom knew not God." I love that, don't you? The world by its own wisdom didn't have a clue. It knew not God. And then there is the word that means the inhabited earth, the Roman Empire. Remember where Luke said that all the world should be taxed, all the inhabited earth, everybody that was in the Roman Empire. Now, love for the world, love for this present world, what does that mean? Now, there are many good things in this world, isn't there? You know, this world's a beautiful place. It's God's creation. I love being in central Kentucky. I don't think there's anything like seeing these rolling hills of central Kentucky, the horse. It's beautiful. God's world is beautiful, and men were created in the image of God, and because of that, there's a lot of good things in this world. What about a happy marriage? How blessed that is. A man and woman in love with one another. What about the blessedness of having children and grandchildren and the love that exists between parents and children? What about the blessings of friendship? What a blessing it is to have a true friend, somebody that's really you can count on. They're there for you all the time. And there's the blessing of work. You know, work is a good thing. It was before the fall. It was in the garden before the fall. What a blessing it is to be able to work hard. And what a blessing it is to see compassionate people. People who are compassionate to one another and helpful and so on. They're good things in this world. The ability to invent. What a blessing that is. The ability to enjoy life, to enjoy food. What a blessing. This is a good place, isn't it? I'm thankful for the blessings of this world. And I wouldn't want to just all the work. When he's saying love not the world, he's not talking about love not all these blessings that he's given to us, because the Lord has given us this world to enjoy. He really has. Some people act like it's God's will for you to be miserable. No, it's not. He's given us all things richly to enjoy. Now, when Paul speaks of Demas loving this present world, he had a love for this world that did not make him thankful for the blessings of it, but it made him depart from Christ. Now, who knows where this began? How many years did it take? How long was he a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul? I don't know. Did he have a desire to please somebody? Did he have a desire to get rid of the frown of this world? I don't know what started this process or how long this process took, but it happened. Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, deserted me, having loved this present world. Now, Demas was a worldling. He was a worldly person. Now, when the world thinks of a non-worldly person, they generally think of a religious fundamentalist who dresses different. And you can even tell by their haircut. And they avoid any kind of worldly music. And they fight secularism. And they fight worldly practices. And they never enjoy the pleasures of life. They have a touch of, they have that touch not, taste not, handle not mentality that makes them think that I'm keeping myself from the world. And then the world thinks of a worldly person as someone who enjoys fine dining and eating and pleasure and so on, and probably likes nice cars and big houses and enjoys life a lot better than the religious fundamentalist did. Now, and this person is generally quite shallow and doesn't really think of anything about the world to come. They're only living here in the present and not thinking about the world to come. Now, no doubt that is a worldly person, but that religious person is a very worldly person too. That religious person is being dominated by the religion of the world. He's just as worldly, if not more worldly, than the person who has an ostentatious house and drives an ostentatious car or whatever people think of as being worldly. Now, what is this world that Demas loved and departed from Christ for? Well, Ephesians 2:2 says, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, speaking of Satan, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, in the lusts of our mind, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath. Wrathful children, even just like everybody else. John referred to the world as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the lust of the flesh, I think, is most clearly demonstrated by Adam and Eve before the fall. They were naked. It wasn't an issue. As soon as they fell, all of a sudden it was an issue. That's because of fallen, sinful nature. Their natures were changed. And that lust of the flesh, that fall, also see, what the first thing they did? They invented human religion. They tried to make a covering for themselves, to cover their nakedness and their shame. You see all that in the fall, in the lust of the flesh. And then there's the lust of the eyes. Being more concerned about what men think than what God thinks. Being more concerned about what somebody thinks about me than what God thinks about me. Trying to please men. It's the fear of man, the lust of the eyes that causes you to not do right because you're concerned about what somebody else thinks. And then there's the pride of life, the lust for power and position and so on. The pride of life. And you know, let's be honest. Everything that I've mentioned, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, isn't there in you right now a great attraction to those things? Somebody says, no. Well, one of two things are true concerning you. You're a liar, or you're so good at lying and so adept at it, you've lied to yourself and made yourself really believe it. Anybody that has an evil, sinful nature knows that there is a great attraction to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There's a great attraction to it, and we hate ourselves that it's like that. But if I'm a Christian, I also have a new man, an inner man, that has no love for this world of sin, and that has no love for this world that hates my Redeemer. Now, when we're talking about the world that Demas pursued, we're talking about this world that has no love for Jesus Christ. No love for the gospel. No love for the gospel of grace. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 12, look what Paul says. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now the spirit of the world doesn't know anything about things freely given. The spirit of the world knows nothing of grace, no appreciation for grace. But when I'm given the Spirit of God, I'm given some understanding of the things that are freely. Don't you love that word, freely? Freely given to us of God. God freely gave me faith. God freely gave me repentance. God freely gave me a new heart. God freely gave me His righteousness. God has freely given me the forgiveness of sins. Do you know that's the spirit which is of God? And works, religion, is the spirit of the world. It's worldliness. Now, notice Demas loved this present evil world. He was more concerned about the present world than the world to come. Now, what would keep, here's the question I want to ask. Like I said, I want to bring a positive, blessed message that encourages us rather than scares us to death, unless we need to be scared to death. What is it that would keep me and you from being like Demas? I don't want to be a Demas, do you? And I also see where, apart from God's grace, I could easily be a Demas. Now, what can keep a man like me or you from being a Demas? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now, when Christ was raised from the dead, I was given a living hope. All my sins are put away, and my hope's alive. My hope is a person who's alive, who's seated at the right hand of the Father. I've got a living hope. To an inheritance, verse 4, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You know why I'm not going to fall away? Because there's a place with my name already on it, reserved for me. And there will be no empty chairs in heaven, no empty seats. You see, everybody that Christ died for must be saved. They cannot fall away like Demas did. You remember what John said? He said, "They went out from us, but they were not all of us. For if they would have been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they were manifest that they were not all of us." We have an inheritance undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept. What's going to keep me from falling away? I'm kept. Kept. Kept by what? Kept by the power of God. Here's why, by His grace, I'm not going to be a Demas. Now, I know apart from His grace, any believer here knows all the Lord's got to do is remove His hand from you, and there's nothing you won't do. But I'm kept. How? By the power of God. Now, that is power, isn't it? It's the power of God that is used in the preservation of the believer. And that's why no believer will prove to be a Demas. They're kept by the power of God, but watch this, through faith. Through faith. Continuing to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Continuing to rest in Him. You know, when I was first saved, and I don't even know when that was, but when I was first saved, I know this. I knew that the only hope that I had was that Christ died for my sins. I couldn't even assure you that Christ did die for me, but I knew the only hope I had was that Christ died for my sins. You know what? It's no different today. Not a bit different. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with the fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. In whom though now you seem not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Turn with me for a moment to Galatians chapter 6. Now, this is what gives someone a proper view of the world. This world that hates the Lord Jesus Christ, that hates grace. Paul said in verse 14 of Galatians chapter 6, "But God forbid that I should glory, that I should boast in, that I should have confidence in, that I should find hope in. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Now here's the only way somebody's going to have the proper attitude about the world and not love the world the way Demas did. It's by glorying in the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, if there's anybody that had any reason to glory, I'd think Paul would. I mean, God took him into the third heavens. He was taught the gospel directly by the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote at least 13 books in the Bible. He's called himself by grace the wise master builder. He's the one that the Lord used more than any other man to expound the gospel we believe. We love Paul, don't we? But what does Paul say regarding his own experience? He said, "God forbid that I should glory in anything that I've been enabled to do, that God has used me for. I don't want to glory in any of that. There's only one thing I can glory in. And that's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, what He accomplished on Calvary's tree." You see, when he said, "It is finished," my salvation, my entire salvation, became past tense. It became historical. It was accomplished. And I'm not going to have confidence in anything but that. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And glorying in the cross made him see the world in its proper perspective. If you see the glory of who Christ is and what He did, and you see this world that hates Him, what do you think about the world? It's a crucified thing to you. It's a crucified thing. And the world views you the same way, anyone who glories in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, regarding this present world, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Let me give you the future of the present. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. Here's the future of the present. Verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now present, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Look down in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens that now are shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works thereof shall be burned up. Now that's the future, the present. But that's not the only future of the present. Look down in verse 18 of this same chapter. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now, that's going on right now, and forever. Now you see, the gospel gives us a glorious present and a glorious future. 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, just for a little while. I mean, you can exercise all you want. It might make you feel good, better, good practice, but you're still going to die. Bodily exercise profits just for a little while. But godliness is profitable in all things, having a promise both in this life and the life that is to come. Now let's talk just for a few moments about what a believer has right now in the present. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now, right now, I'm in Christ Jesus, and there's no sin to condemn me for. You see, if I had any sin, I'd be condemned. God said, I will by no means clear the guilty. If I had any sin, I would be condemned. But there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And the only reason there's no condemnation is there's no sin. Whoso abideth in Him sinneth not. Now that can only be laid hold on by faith. I realize that. But in Christ, I have no sin. That's the only reason I'm not condemned. If there was one speck of sin left on me, I'd be condemned. But my Lord actually put it away. There is therefore now rest, rest. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24 says, for Christ is not entered into the holy place made with heavens, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself now. Get that word now. Now, to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, not only do I have no condemnation, but I have Jesus Christ the Lord right now as I'm speaking, appearing in the very presence of God for me. For me. As my great high priest, as my Savior, as my Lord. He's appearing there for me. And so all the Father ever sees when He sees me is He sees Him. I love to think of the intercession of Christ. The fact that Wherefore, He is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him. And you know, I'm coming to God by Him. When He comes to God, I do. Because I'm in Him. I'm united to Him. When He comes to the Father, I come to the Father. That's exactly what the Lord meant when He said, no man comes to the Father but by Me. He didn't simply mean we come pleading His name, although we do. But He means when I come, you come. Because you're united to Me in Me. Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Peter, Satan has desired to have you, and that's literally, he's asked for permission to turn you inside out. And oh, what he has to work with me and you. He can turn every one of us inside out so easily. So easily. Satan has asked permission to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And you know what the Lord did? He gave Satan permission to do it. He gave Satan that permission. You see, Peter needed this. But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. Notice he didn't say, I prayed for you that Satan wouldn't be able to turn you inside out. But he did say, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And you know what? The Father answered him. When the Lord said from the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Do you know everyone he prayed for was forgiven? That wasn't some kind of generic prayer. Everyone he prayed for was forgiven. So what do I have right now? Right now, I have my great high priest appearing in heaven for me. Everything's okay. And I have him by his spirit living inside of me. That's why I'm not going to fall away. You see, the scripture says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And by his grace, I will persevere all the way to the end because I have Christ in me. And you know, somebody says, how do you know Christ is in you? That's a big, bold claim. How do you know Christ is in you? Because the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I'm living off his faithfulness. You know what I believe? I believe I'm saved by his faith. Don't you believe? Yeah, that's what I believe. That's exactly what I believe. I believe I'm saved by his faithfulness. That's faith in Christ. We have him representing us. We have him living inside of us. And we have the blessed promise of Romans 8:28. And we know. Right now, and we know. I love the way Paul says this. We know. Every believer knows. And we know that all things work together. Whatever's going on, things present, past, future, all things are working together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, that's why no true believer will ever prove to be a Demas. Now, here's the last thought I want to leave you with regarding why a believer will never be a Demas. And like I said, you know you would be apart from his grace. But let's take the world. I want you to give some consideration. Let's take the world and all the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Is there anything in this world that you'd sell Christ for? No. You see, Christ is better. He's better than the world. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. There is nothing this world has to offer that can compare with the glory of simply resting in Christ. There's no pleasure the world has to offer as to being able to hear the gospel and know that the Lord's done something for you and you rest in who he is and what he's done. The world doesn't have any duplication of that. Now, I know a worldling would say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I know you would because you never experienced it. But if you ever experienced just hearing the gospel, there's nothing like it. Christ is better. Now turn with me to Psalm 17. This is the last scripture we'll look at. Verse 13. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. Remember that, the wicked, it's his sword. He's using that wicked person for his glory and for your good. Everything that happens to you is his sword. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a blessing to know that? That whatever happens to me, he's in control of it. He's the first cause behind it. Verse 14, from men which are thy hand, O Lord, same thing. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world that Demas loved, this present evil world of, O Lord, from men of the world which have their portion in this life. Not in the life to come, but in this life. Oh, everything's good for them now. They have more than their hearts could wish. Whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They're full of children, and they leave the rest of their substance to their babes. Leave them big inheritance after they're gone. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I'll behold thy face. Not look down in shame, but I'll behold his face in righteousness. Now I can't get a hold of that. I believe it. But I kind of feel like if the Lord looked directly in my face right now, I'm just down quick. It'd be hard, wouldn't it? I'd look down. But one of these days, I'll have no sin for which to feel guilty. And I'll behold his glorious face in absolute, perfect righteousness. Conscious of it. Conscious of it. I wouldn't remember what sin's like. David said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Now, what would you rather be? A man of the world who has his portion in this life, and a miserable portion it is. It's so temporary. Or be like David. As for me, I'll behold thy face in righteousness. I'll be satisfied. I'll be completely satisfied. Not until then, but I'll be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. You know, the Lord Jesus is such that John said, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now, here's what we are now, right there in the present. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Can you even imagine what it would be like to not have a sinful mind? To not have a sinful thought? To be perfectly conformed to his image? Well, John was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he said, it doth not now yet appear what we shall be. We can't even understand this, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. The beatific vision. We shall see him as he is. Now, Demas is a warning. He's a warning. He had Paul fooled. He walked with Paul for many years. He wasn't even a preacher of the gospel, but he departed, having loved this present world. What's the difference between Demas and a believer? The believer is kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Let's pray together.